Hi, this is Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Justine Toe.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
Well, Australia is very proud of its multiculturalism. The last census found that one in four of us were born overseas. Apparently, we speak over 260 languages. There is a rich mix of ethnic and cultural diversity among us.
You'd think that this mix of differences might make it difficult for us to live together peacefully. But on the whole, we do pretty well, actually, on that count. But, and unfortunately there is a but, it's less clear whether we actually share our lives with people from different backgrounds to our own. Sydney tends to be a city of tribes, where suburbs are defined by ethnicity as much as by how well off you are. And perhaps, in some cases, we just live alongside each other. We don't hate each other, but we're not all that concerned with each other either.
And this is where Parkside Church comes in, because it is proving the exception to that rule. Based in Edenza Park in southwestern Sydney, the church is made up of people of over 50 nationalities and counting. And we're pleased to welcome its senior pastor, Matthew Kuruvilla, into CPX to tell us about the way Parkside builds bridges with its diverse community. Thanks for coming in, Matthew.
Thank you.
Now, can you give us a snapshot of what your church looks like during a Sunday service? You've got flags from all the nations represented in your church in the main auditorium. But what I really want to know, I suppose, is who is sitting with who? Are people all mixed together, or are people sort of defined by their ethnic groups, let's say?
No, everybody's sitting together. But the most important thing is that we see that where there is strife in the world, where we see people within our church sitting together. For example, we have Muslim converts and Jewish converts sitting together. We have Croatians and Serbians sitting together. We have Sinhalese and Tamils sitting together. So that kind of reconciliation is an amazing experience to see in the church.
Has it always been that way? How long have you been there?
I've been there 26 years now.
And what was it like when you first arrived?
Well, it was when I first went there, we had a group of maybe under 20 people, mainly from Anglo-Celtic background. So it took a long time to reach this stage.
And back at that time, was the suburb mostly Anglo, and then now it's changed over that 26 years that you've been there?
No, it wasn't. Actually, the community was pretty diverse, but the church wasn't reflecting the community.
And is everyone on board with the multicultural vision that you're going with? And how do you cultivate that togetherness if they're not?
Well, in the beginning, I think it was pretty tough for people, because I think it was a new thing and people find it very hard to integrate. But it is much better now. We have a lot of integration and people are working together and walking together and worshipping together. That's a beautiful experience. Yep.
So how has that change come about?
Well, it took a long time, like I said.
Yep.
When we first went there, I guess two things had to happen. First, the community need to know about the church and the church need to know about the community. So I guess that was the initial thing. I was trying to bring that together by doing a survey in the community and asking people what is the greatest need in the community and what the church can do for the community. And then I had to collect all the information from the community and bring that to the church and educate the church about the community. So that took a while for that to happen.
So what was the greatest need in the community? What did you find out?
I found the greatest need at that time was a childcare center.
Hmm.
So, and we actually went ahead and did a childcare center. We applied for a license, we got a childcare center, and we ran a childcare center for 10 years. So that was a connecting point for us as a church.
And so did you then manage to connect with the community? Like, so people who brought their children to that centre then became more interested in what the church was doing?
Yes. That's the only way we could actually grow as a multi-ethnic church, because we have people need to see our church, people need to come there. So we had several meetings with parents and children in the church, inviting them to come along and be part of the church.
So once you have people in the church who haven't been in that situation before, how do you get them all on board to say, come on, everyone, we're all very different, but we can all live together very well? What sorts of things did you have to do to make that happen?
I guess before we can bring people into the church, the people within the church need to be changed. I guess they had to become a welcoming community, and that was a tough thing for a lot of people, because like I said, it was a very Anglo-Celtic church, and myself, my wife, and a couple of kids, we were the different people in the church. We actually messed up the whole church when we first went there.
So we should clarify, you have an Indian background.
I have an Indian background. My wife is actually from Fiji, and my kids were born in Australia.
So there's a lot of ethnic difference even just in that.
That's right, yeah. That's true.
So how did you make the congregation more welcoming then?
I guess we had to teach the congregation what church is all about. I guess that took me a while to explain to people what is the nature and the purpose of the church, because I guess people didn't realize that, you know, the God's church is a church that is comprised of people of all ethnicities.
So are there resources from within the Christian faith and within the Christian worldview to encourage cultural difference and encourage people to embrace cultural difference?
Oh, definitely, yeah. The purpose of the church is actually to be a light in the community and salt of the earth. And I guess initially that I had to really teach people about that, what is the nature of the church. And there's a biblical mandate for multi-ethnic church, because when God called Abraham and said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to all of the nations.
So your church is reflecting that mandate?
Definitely, yes.
With 50 nationalities presented, you know, the church is like any other family. I suppose it has its divisions and its tensions, and you can imagine that this would be more the case when people are from very different backgrounds. Have you had to navigate any profound ethnic sort of tensions in your time?
Not major ethnic tensions, but I guess, you know, people, when you have 50 nationalities in the church, as you know, that people bring 50 different worldviews into the church. And I guess one of the things that we keep emphasizing is there is a Christ culture which transcends all other cultures. So that helps people to bring back to God's word and encourage what is good and challenge what is not godly.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Our guest is Matthew Kuruvilla, who pastors a multi-ethnic church in southwest Sydney.
So Christianity, especially in the West, we often think of it as a Western and an Anglo religion. Are there ways to for people to really keep their own cultures and be Christians? They don't have to take on a kind of anglicized culture in order to take up Christian faith.
No, certainly not. They don't have to become Anglo to, you know, to be a Christian. One good thing is in our church is that we have 30% of our church population are Anglo-Celtic, and 30% are first-generation migrants, and 40% are second- and third-generation migrants. So we actually, it's a beautiful thing that we are all working together without actually one culture domineering.
And have you seen ways that people have brought their own cultural background and assumptions and practices to bear on the culture of the whole group together?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Can you give us some examples? Well,
for example, every Sunday we have people from different ethnic backgrounds actually cook food in our cafe. Our cafe is called Harmony Cafe. And that's a beautiful experience for people to taste food from different countries. We have a big international night. We do that every year. We have thousands of people come, and we have cultural performances and activities and music. And also we celebrate the diversity.
Well, on that notion of diversity, you know, we live in a time that really values this idea, but it can often be a very thin notion of diversity. You know, we might say, well, I like Lebanese food, as if that this is as good as knowing a Lebanese person and being friends with them and sharing your life with them. The alternative to that thin idea of diversity is a thick diversity, obviously, a deep commitment to engaging with other people and sharing your lives with them. That's very hard to do, though, isn't it? It's much easier to be thin rather than thick in that sense.
But I think that's what we are encouraging. I guess we are thinking of more integration of communities, our cultures together and doing things together. And I think that's intentionality is an important word in that, because everything that we do is intentional. We want actually everyone to make decision. So see that reflected in our leadership, see that reflected in everything that we do, that we want to have the diversity.
So are there things that you think are strengths of your congregation that maybe other congregations that aren't so diverse miss out on?
Well, definitely, yes. Like I said, everything that we do is together. We don't have one culture doing one particular thing. Everything that we do together. That's where I said intentionally we do that. All our home groups are intentionally multi-ethnic. Our church band is intentionally multi-ethnic. Our leaders are intentionally diverse.
What's the language situation like? Can it be quite difficult?
Well, we actually use English as our main language. We don't use any other language. Yeah, there are some people maybe struggle with the language, but we use symbol language. We have 50 nationalities with 50 different accents.
So do you offer that as a service? Do you help people to learn English? You have a lot of first-generation migrants. Do you help them out with that particular
need? Yes, we do, yeah. We have English classes for migrants. I think a lot of people love to come to our church because that helps them to learn English.
When migrants first come to this country, there is a real tendency to sort of stick in with their own, right? Because it's alienating, it's frightening, it's bewildering. And so the lure of the familiar is very compelling. How have you managed to challenge that? Like what you're painting, the portrait you're painting of Parkside is very sort of like everyone's in deep with each other, despite all these differences. What's the secret?
I think the church has to become a welcoming community and a caring community. I think, you know, I learned many years ago, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I think when we genuinely care for other people, I think people will respond to that. And that's why a lot of people came to our church, because the people in our church became a very caring community. And we have hospitality and inviting people to our homes. So we encourage all those things so people can get to know each other.
Thinking about Australia and Australians more broadly, we think of the community that you're describing as fairly unusual. How do you think that the Australian community more generally could be like this?
I believe that the way it should be, because I think in Australia we live in a segregated community. I think the sad thing is there is church is more segregated than the community, as well as in our public school system. And when church is segregated, I think, you know, that's a sad thing.
So what needs to change?
Well, people need to be welcoming community, inviting other people to come, rather than segregating people. I think we should be integrating people.
Is your impression that that's what people want?
Well, I think so. Majority of the people who come to this country want to be integrated with the Australian community. I don't think they want to be segregated. But I think because if you are not welcoming people, I think they would tend to do that.
And do you think that Australians who are already established here want that as well?
I'm not sure they want that. I think that's a struggle. I think a lot of the people, I think they would be happy if they have a mono-ethnic churches in their churches. And I've been to many churches where I've seen that there may be 10 or 12 different groups meeting in the church, but they never integrate. They're happy to do that. They're happy to send missionaries to overseas and things like that, which I've done it. I was a missionary before. I was training missionaries. But I realized that, you know, God is bringing people of all nations coming into this country. And we have a great opportunity to love and care for each other and to be together as one family. Ultimately, and the Bible says there will be people from every language, tribe, people will be in heaven. So I guess this is a bit of a taste of heaven.
Well, on that point, Michael Spence, the Vice-Chancellor of Sydney University, he recently gave the St. Mark's Lecture for Faith in the Contemporary World, and he was talking about multiculturalism. Here's a clip of some of what he had to say.
How do we live together in this city of ghettos, this racially fragmented place? So many of our neighbours, of all kinds, want to live a kind of cultural apartheid. I do not think that that can be an option for the Christian. The Christian in this fragmented city has a duty to engage, a duty to fight prejudice, and a duty to meet the other in and with the love of God. That will not be easy. It could, in fact, it even might be likely to, as the Bible warns, take us to the cross. But if we get it right, it could be genuinely transformative. Transformative for our churches, for our city, and our nation.
Thanks so much to Michael Jensen and St. Mark's for granting us permission to use that extract. Now, Michael Spence says that the Christian has a particular duty to love the other and that it's not going to be easy. Matthew, can you summarise what this journey has been like for you? You know, what have been its joys but also its sorrows?
I think for me it has been a joyful journey, but I guess in the early part of our church it was a tough thing. I remember one time, one of the guys who was leading music in our church came to me and said, Pastor, I'm leaving the church. And I said, why? Because he said, the church is getting too colorful for me. And so he left the church. And so I think it is a hard thing for some time. I mean, you think about Australia, we had white Australia policy for 70 years. So coming out of that, it is hard for a lot of people. But I think with God's grace and with educating people, I think it can be resolved.
So even though Sydney is very much a city of tribes that may all coexist peacefully, they may not have much to do with each other. But Parkside shows an alternative to that, a rich mix of different people from all over the world and a rich engagement with cultural difference. And it's also a testimony that people can find in a faith community a unity that is also much greater than their differences. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Matthew.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Thank you for your company. For more on this topic and many more besides, go to publicchristianity.org.